5-Minute Furry Friends Stories. Disney. The Aristocats. The Surprise Party. Written by Victoria Saxon. The Aristocats is based on the book by Thomas Rowe. Early one morning, Thomas O'Malley yawned, stretched, and found three little kittens jumping on his bed. Marie, Bullios, and Toulouse began singing cheerily while Duchess presented O'Malley with a dish of cream. "Happy birthday," the cats sang out.
"Well, gee, that's the best birthday present I ever got," O'Malley exclaimed. "Thanks a bunch."
Turning to the kittens, he said, "I don't suppose anyone wants to help me eat my breakfast?"
"Oh, thank you, Mr. O'Malley," the kittens replied as they began lapping the cream.
When they had finished eating, O'Malley said, "Say, I was hoping to spend some time with Scat Cat and the band." "Well, Thomas," Duchess quickly interrupted, "we actually have quite a big day planned for your birthday. Perhaps you can meet with them later."
"Really? Plans for my birthday?" O'Malley said.
"Now, children," Duchess began, "who wants to give Thomas his birthday present first?"
I do, Toulouse replied. "Follow me, Mr. O'Malley."
"Yeah," said Bullios. "Follow him."
As soon as O'Malley's back was turned, Duchess whispered to Bullios and Marie,
"Come, children, let's get on with our plans for Thomas's surprise party."
Toulouse led O'Malley into the sunroom.
"Today, I'm going to paint your portrait. Face this way, please, and don't move."
Toulouse began squirting paint from various tubes. O'Malley was so busy watching Toulouse that he didn't see what was happening behind him. A little while later, Toulouse presented his painting to O'Malley.
"That's real swell, Toulouse," O'Malley said. "I don't suppose you could teach me how to do that."
"Sure," Toulouse replied. "I can teach you."
He smothered a smile. The birthday surprise plans were right on track. Toulouse showed O'Malley how to mix paints to get different colours. Then they outlined a picture. They painted and painted and painted. Suddenly, Marie and Bullios walked into the room.
Our turn, Marie said to O'Malley.
Would you like to hear some scales and arpeggios?
Meanwhile, Toulouse quietly backed out of the room to help with the rest of the birthday preparations.
We planned a special birthday song just for you, Bullios said. Want to hear it?
Well, sure I do, O'Malley said.
Bullios and Marie made sure O'Malley was looking at them, not outside, where the others were setting up the surprise party. Bullios stretched along the keyboard and played their new song, while Marie began to sing. O'Malley was loving the tempo and couldn't believe they had written him his very own tune. He found himself tapping and singing along, just as Bullios and Marie had planned.
Thank you for the best birthday song I've ever heard, O'Malley said when they had finished.
As early evening approached, O'Malley was getting ready to find Scat Cat and the band, when Duchess asked if she could take him on a birthday stroll. They wandered all around Madame's courtyard. When they reached the end of the garden, Duchess pulled a wrapped gift from behind a rose bush. "Happy birthday, dear Thomas," she said.
"A bow tie. Thanks, Duchess," he said. "Between you and those kittens, this has been a terrific birthday."
"It's not over yet, you know," Duchess told him. "We do have one last surprise for you." Duchess led O'Malley into the dining room.
"I hope everything is to your liking," Madame said to O'Malley.
Toulouse, Bullios, and Marie were there, with Roquefort too.
"Happy birthday," they all called out.
They had prepared all his favourite foods.
"I'm stuffed," O'Malley said after enjoying the treats. "Say, what a terrific birthday. And the best part has been sharing it with all of you."
It was starting to get dark outside, and O'Malley turned to the kittens.
"I think it's almost time for bed, little ones," he said.
"Before we go to bed, can we go look at the stars?"
Marie asked.
Well, sure, I don't see why not,
O'Malley replied. Oh, yes, Duchess added as they all headed outside. That's a wonderful idea. And, Thomas, I have to confess, I told you a little white lie. The dinner was your second-to-last birthday surprise.
Surprise! Yelled Duchess and the kittens. Surprise! Hollered Scat Cat and the band.
Wow! O'Malley exclaimed. Turning to Duchess and the kittens, he asked, How did you pull this off? You were with me all day.
Marie giggled. Well, sometimes some of us were with you, while others of us were preparing, Duchess concluded. It was a fantastic celebration, and everyone had a wonderful time. Berlioz, Toulouse, and Marie even got to stay up late to enjoy the fun.
When the night finally ended, O'Malley turned to Duchess and the kittens. Thanks for the best birthday I ever had.
It's over now, right? He said, laughing.
Duchess smiled at him. Your birthday is over, but I think we'll keep on celebrating you being in our lives for a long time yet. Right, children?
Yes,
Toulouse whispered, yawning. Happy birthday to you, Abraham de Lacy, Giuseppe, Casey, Thomas.
O'Malley.
Disney. Pixar. Up. Watchdog. Written by Jennifer Arena. Doug bounded over some rocks, scrambled up a hill, and crossed a little stream. The golden retriever was looking for a spot to camp for the night. Following him were his friends, Carl Fredrickson and Russell. Doug had met them in South America when Carl and Russell were on an adventure. Doug wanted to find the best camping spot ever, just for them. Around his neck, Doug wore a high-tech collar that helped him speak to humans. Find the spot, he chanted aloud. Suddenly, Doug saw a good place. Point, he shouted. He froze and pointed toward a clearing up ahead. It had trees on three sides and a beautiful view across a valley. Russell and Carl looked around. I like it, Russell said. Carl put down a picnic basket that held their dinner and breakfast for the next day. Next to it, he placed a jug of lemonade. Okay, Russell, let's set up those tents of yours, he said. The day had been full of new sights and sounds. Carl, Russell, and Doug had hiked along a trail and climbed to a beautiful overlook. But now the day was over, and the sun was setting. Carl and Russell put up the tents and unrolled their sleeping bags. They cooked dinner over the campfire, and afterward, they roasted marshmallows. But Russell's yawns were getting bigger. It was bedtime. His eyes half closed, Russell started to walk toward his tent.
Hey, look at this, he suddenly shouted.
Carl and Doug went to Russell. On the ground, just past the campfire, was a trail of paw prints. They all stared. Doug sniffed the tracks.
What kind of animal made these? Carl asked.
A bear,
Russell shouted.
No,
Carl frowned.
They're too small.
I'll check my Wilderness Explorer's handbook, said Russell.
But Carl shook his head.
Bedtime, he instructed.
I will keep watch all night, Doug exclaimed. I will find out. Do not worry, I will not fall asleep.
Good night, Doug,
Russell said. He gave the dog a big hug. He and Carl went into their tents and zipped up the flaps. Doug was proud to have such an important job. He was going to be a super watchdog. Doug sat outside the tents, as still as a statue. His tail wanted to wag, but Doug wouldn't let it.
But wait! What was that by the oak tree? A squirrel? Doug charged toward the tree and tripped over a rope on Russell's tent. Part of the tent collapsed. Doug hung his head. He hadn't meant for that to happen. He waited for Russell to come out. Then he heard a snore. Russell was still sleeping. Doug slunk back to his watching spot. He had made one mistake, but that could happen to any watchdog. The moon rose higher into the sky. Doug wanted to howl at the moon, but that would wake up Carl and Russell. So he buried his nose under his paw. Then Doug got an itch on his back. He rolled over to scratch it. At that moment, a bat swooped down over the clearing. Doug jumped up in surprise. He accidentally knocked over the jug of lemonade behind him, and it spilled all over the ground. Embarrassed, Doug went to stand guard near Carl's tent. It wasn't as messy over there. Doug watched as the moon traveled across the night sky. All was quiet. Russell, Russell, Russell. What was that noise? There, by the picnic basket. Russell, Russell, crack. Doug sneaked across the clearing, keeping low to the ground. He spotted fresh paw prints in the dirt. Then he saw a shadow near a tree. Something was prowling. Now it was rummaging. Woof, woof, woof. Doug barked. The intruder turned toward him. It had a black mask and a striped tail. It was a raccoon, and it was trying to get the food in the picnic basket. Not on Doug's watch.
Move away from the basket, he said. That is our breakfast. You cannot eat it.
The raccoon grabbed a string of sausages in its teeth. Doug took the other end. He tugged. The raccoon tugged. Doug tugged harder. The raccoon hissed. Doug growled. Finally, the raccoon let go. Doug had won. Defeated, the raccoon scampered away. Doug triumphantly carried the sausages back to the picnic basket. They were a little roughed up and dirty. A couple of leaves were stuck to the slobbery spots. But he was sure Carl and Russell wouldn't mind. Doug was proud of himself. He had spotted the intruder in the dark and scared it away. He had even saved breakfast. He felt like a top watchdog. Soon, the sky began to lighten, and the stars started to fade. Doug was very sleepy. His eyes felt so heavy. His paws felt so heavy. His ears and nose and tail felt so heavy, too. But he couldn't give up standing guard now. It was almost morning. Doug put his head down on his paws. He would rest for just a minute and then go back to keeping watch. Resting his head felt nice. Maybe he should rest his eyes for a minute, too. It was getting harder and harder to keep them open. Doug closed his eyes. He wasn't going to sleep, though. He was going to stay up all night and make sure Carl and Russell were safe. Nothing was going to bother them. Not as long as...
Honk shoo! Honk shoo!
Doug fell asleep. A few minutes later, Carl came out of his tent. He no longer slept as long as he used to. Carl looked around the clearing. He noticed Russell's tent and heard the boy still snoring. He saw the dirty sausages sticking out of the picnic basket and the jug of lemonade on its side. Carl sat next to Doug. Doug opened one eye.
I found him. I found the creature that made the paw prints, he said.
Yes, I heard you, Carl said. He gave Doug a pat on the head. Good dog. Good Doug.
Is it breakfast time yet?
Russell suddenly called from inside his tent. No, go back to sleep, Carl replied. After a moment, Russell's snoring continued. Then, together, Doug and Carl watched the sun rise over the misty valley.
Disney, 101 Dalmatians, Fire Pup of the Day, written by Courtney Carbone, based on the book The 101 Dalmatians by Dodie Smith, published by the Viking Press. One morning at the farm, Roly watched the start of a new day from his favorite sunny spot. His father Pongo accompanied Roger to milk the cows. His mother Perdita watched Anita collect eggs. Their housekeeper Nanny picked fresh apples from the tree. Fresh apples? That could mean only one thing. Nanny planned to bake an apple pie that afternoon. Roly yipped with glee. He ran inside to tell the others. He found his siblings watching The Thunderbolt Adventure Hour on TV. The canine hero was putting out a fire. Go, Thunderbolt, go! Penny yelled. Penny, Patch, Roly shouted. I have good news! But his siblings weren't listening. One day, I'll be a fire hero, just like Thunderbolt, Patch exclaimed. Me too, Penny replied. Oh yeah? Patch said. You think you're fast enough? Sure am, Penny yelled. Race ya! Roly sighed as his siblings sprinted toward the front door, just as Roger, Anita and Nanny came inside. Whoa there, Patch! Roger cried as milk spilled on the pup. Careful, Penny, Anita exclaimed as an egg splattered near their feet. Oh boy, Nanny added. Our house has gone to the dogs. Pongo and Perdita arrived home next. Settle down, children, Pongo said. You must be more careful. But Dad, Penny pleaded, we're practicing to become fire pups. I have an idea, Perdita replied. Let's go to the barn. In the barn, Perdita and Pongo set up a series of challenges. Now, puppies, Perdita said, here are three fire safety training exercises. Let's see if any of you are ready to become junior fire pups. The puppies barked their approval. Firefighters must keep their hoses neat, Perdita explained. Let's see how quickly you can coil a garden hose. Patch and Penny ran in perfect circles with their hoses. Roly tried his best, but when he finished, he had tangled himself into one giant knot. Next, firefighters use ladders to rescue people, Perdita said. Let's see who can climb the ladder the fastest. The puppies hurried up the ladder, but Roly was afraid of heights. He became dizzy and fell, bumping each rung on the way down. Clunk, clunk, clunk. Perdita rushed to him. Oh no, Roly, are you hurt? I'm fine, Roly said. He was just disappointed. The final challenge was a race to the fire hydrant at the edge of the farm. What's the use? Roly said. I can't keep up. You're doing wonderfully, Perdita told him. Don't give up. Roly shrugged as he went to the starting line. Ready? Set? Go! Pongo yelled. Roly quickly fell behind. Disheartened, he slowed down to catch his breath. But he noticed something unusual. He'd expected to smell Nanny's delicious apple pie. But instead, he smelled smoke. Roly forgot about the race and scuttled into the kitchen. Sure enough, smoke rose from the oven. The pie was burning. Roly thought about what Thunderbolt would do. He gathered all his might and barked as loud as he could. Soon, Anita, Roger, and Nanny ran in. Oh my, Nanny exclaimed, turning off the oven. I forgot about my pie. To help, Anita and Roger opened the window and the door. Pongo, Perdita, Penny, and Patch arrived just as the smoke cleared. Good thing you smelled the smoke, Roly, Roger said.
Otherwise, there could have been a real fire.
You're a hero, Anita exclaimed.
Say, said Roger,
why don't we stop by the firehouse so we can tell the team about our very own rescue pup?
Before they left, Nanny gave the puppy some pie scraps.
I guess it's not always important to be the fastest, Patch admitted.
Or the strongest, Penny added.
But we can all be brave and save the day,
Rolly said, with his mouth full.
The trip to the firehouse was everything Rolly had dreamed it would be. He saw fire trucks and met real firefighters.
Great work today, the captain said as he placed a fire helmet on Rolly's head. You must have a real nose for safety.
Rolly smiled. I could get used to being a hero, he thought.
Disney, Lilo and Stitch. Stitch's Day at School. Written by John Edwards. Lilo and Stitch were excited. It was pet day at school. All the kids were bringing their pets to class. Hurry up, Lilo! Nani, Lilo's older sister, called. You'll be late for school! Nani looked at Stitch. We're going to be on our best behavior today, right? Stitch nodded. He was very excited to go to Lilo's school. At school, there were all different kinds of pets. Some were big and fluffy, some were small and scaly. Some even looked like their owners. The class also had a pet of its own, a frog named Mr. Phibbs. But none of the animals looked like Stitch. After each presentation, Lilo got more and more excited. She couldn't wait for her turn. Stitch was curious about all the different creatures. But when he tried to get a closer look at the class pet, Mr. Phibbs jumped out of his habitat and disappeared through the door. Stitch chased Mr. Phibbs. The frog hopped down the hall and into another classroom. In that classroom, students wore goggles and aprons as they worked on experiments. It reminded Stitch of Jumba's lab. Stitch knew he should find Mr. Phibbs and get back to Lilo, but he couldn't resist trying his own experiment. With some careful pours and shakes, Stitch created a stink bomb that sent everyone scrambling from the room, including his froggy friend. The hallway was filled with students headed toward the cafeteria. How would he ever find Mr. Phibbs in that crowd? Stitch followed all the students as they filed into the cafeteria, searching for the little green frog. Stitch didn't have to worry. Mr. Phibbs hopped right behind him to the cafeteria. Stitch tried to grab him, but missed. Mr. Phibbs jumped right onto a tray, spilling food everywhere. Food fight! As the cafeteria erupted into chaos, Stitch spotted Mr. Phibbs jumping out the door. As the frog hopped from room to room, Stitch followed. But every time he got close, something new caught his eye. He was doing math when he remembered what Nani had said about best behavior. School was interesting, but the clock was ticking, and he needed to get back to class with Mr. Phibbs, and fast. At last, Stitch found Mr. Phibbs. Just as a whistle blew and red rubber balls filled the air, Stitch ducked, jumped, and cartwheeled across the gymnasium and caught Mr. Phibbs. Now he could get back to Lilo's class. And just in time, it was Lilo's turn to introduce her pet for Pet Day.
My name is Lilo Pelikai, and this is Stitch, she said. He's my Stitch.
What an unusual pet,
said the teacher. Yes, ma'am, said Lilo. That's because Stitch isn't just a pet. He's my best friend and part of my ohana. And ohana means family. Lilo pulled Stitch into a big hug. Nani met Lilo and Stitch after school. Pet day was great, Lilo said. Stitch was on his best behavior. Really? Nani asked. I mean, really? I think that calls for some ice cream. Stitch agreed. This was the best pet day ever.